As I stand here, just beyond the gates of the garden, my heart is heavy with the weight of what has transpired. The lushness of Eden, the place I called home, fades away, and I am left with a feeling of emptiness and profound sadness. My mind races, trying to comprehend the consequences of my choices, and yet, the bitter reality settles in. My actions have changed the course of life for all of creation. I remember the days when I walked with God in the cool of the evening, feeling his presence and the unending love he had for me and my beloved Adam. Our hearts were pure, untainted by the shadows of doubt and fear. We had everything we could ever desire, and we were free to enjoy the bounties of Eden, except for the fruit of that one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But then, the serpent came, sowing seeds of doubt and tempting me with the promise of wisdom, telling me that the fruit of the forbidden tree would open my eyes, make me like God, knowing good and evil. How foolish I was to listen, to entertain the serpent's lies. The moment I took a bite of the fruit, I felt an inexplicable shift within me. I suddenly knew that I was naked, and I was ashamed. I shared the fruit with Adam, and we hid from God, our hearts burdened with guilt and fear. When he called for us, I could not bear to look into his eyes, knowing that I had betrayed his trust, his love. And in his righteous judgment, he decreed the consequences of our disobedience. My heart aches when I think of the pain and suffering that will befall all the generations that come after us. The ground will be cursed, and Adam will toil endlessly to coax sustenance from the soil. As for me, my pains in childbirth will be multiplied. But even in the depths of my despair, I cling to the glimmer of hope that God has given us. In his mercy, he spoke of a promise that one day, the offspring of the woman will crush the head of the serpent, the very source of sin and deceit. Though I may not see it come to pass, I trust in his faithfulness and look forward to the day when the curse will be broken, and redemption will be ours. As we walk away from the garden, hand in hand, I am filled with a mixture of sorrow and hope. The life we knew in Eden is gone, and the world that awaits us is uncertain, filled with challenges and hardships. But I know that God has not abandoned us. And though we may be separated from his presence, his love and the promise of redemption will guide us. It will guide us as we journey through this new world, seeking forgiveness and grace and the restoration of our relationship with our Creator.
Welcome to episode 639 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Today is day 4 of a new series, Jesus in Every Book of the Bible. In direct response to the serpent's deception and Adam and Eve's disobedience, God pronounces curses on each of them, as well as on the generations to follow. Genesis 3 verse 15 holds a significant place in Scripture, as it sets the stage for the redemptive plan of God, which unfolds throughout the Bible and ultimately culminates in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. For the next few minutes, we will delve into the message and implications of this foundational verse, exploring the depth of God's love and the promise of redemption despite the fall of humanity. Genesis 3 verse 15, this is how the NIV puts it. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. The contemporary English version says, you and this woman will hate each other. Your descendants and hers will always be enemies. The fall and the need for redemption. The context of Genesis 3 verse 15 is the aftermath of the fall of humanity, when Adam and Eve disobeyed God by eating the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, sin entered the world. This act of disobedience not only separated them from God, but also introduced pain, suffering, and death into creation. It became evident that humanity would need redemption to restore their relationship with God and overcome the power of sin. A promise of hope. In the midst of the consequences of sin, God made a promise, a glimmer of hope for humanity. In Genesis 3, verse 15, he declared that there would be enmity between the serpent, Satan, and the woman, and between their offspring. In the previous verse, God began his curse on both the serpent and Satan, who took the serpent's form or body. In this verse, the curse is focused entirely on Satan. God promises to make enemies of Satan and the woman. In fact, their offspring or seed will remain enemies throughout all generations. The mention of the woman's offspring crushing the serpent's head is a prophecy pointing to the ultimate victory of Jesus Christ over sin and death. This verse, known as the Proto-Evangelium, or the first gospel, is the first announcement of God's redemptive plan for humanity. The offspring of the woman. Throughout the Old Testament, the lineage of the woman's offspring is traced, and it becomes clear that this prophecy refers to the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Born of a woman, Mary, Jesus entered the world to fulfill the mission of crushing the serpent's head. Through his life, death, and resurrection, Jesus defeated the power of sin and death, providing a way for humanity to be reconciled to God. But Eve's offspring includes not only those who are in the lineage of Jesus, but can apply to all of humanity, born one generation after another up to the present day. But who is Satan's offspring? This verse does not refer to actual biological children of the devil. Satan's offspring likely includes all of the fallen angels and demons who follow him. It definitely includes those humans who will come to believe and practice his lies. Jesus, calling out the Jewish religious leaders in John 8, verse 44, said this: "You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he's a liar and the father of lies." The cost of redemption. While Jesus triumphed over Satan, it came at a great cost. Genesis 3 verse 15 mentions that the serpent would strike the heel of the woman's offspring, alluding to the suffering and death Jesus endured on the cross. However, this strike was not a fatal blow. Rather, it was a temporary setback as Jesus conquered death through his resurrection. Personal implications. The promise of redemption in Genesis 3 verse 15 carries profound implications for our lives. It shows us that even in the face of humanity's worst failure, God's love and grace prevailed. He did not abandon us, but provided a way for our salvation through Jesus Christ. As we meditate on this verse, let us be reminded of the depth of God's love and the reassurance that through faith in Jesus, we can overcome sin and experience eternal life. Genesis 3 verse 15 serves as a foundation for the message of hope and redemption that permeates the entire Bible. As we reflect on this verse, let us be grateful for God's unwavering love and his promise to rescue us from the consequences of sin. Through Jesus Christ, the ultimate fulfillment of this prophecy, we can experience forgiveness, reconciliation, and the assurance of eternal life with our Creator. So way back in the third chapter of the first book of the Bible, we see a reference to Jesus, the only one who could redeem us from sin. Lord, thank you for not abandoning us to the consequences of our sin, but for giving us a glimpse of your plan to save us. We are grateful that the promise in Genesis 3 verse 15 points to the ultimate victory of Jesus Christ, who crushed the head of the serpent and defeated sin and death on our behalf. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.